Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
I'm gonna go ahead and leave you, darling, 'cause I'm flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is Green Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
So our EMF meter started this little thing.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
Listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Take it away.
That was me clearing my throat.
Let's hear Amber clear her throat.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's a great intro. How about if I clean this up a bit and state that in 2005, Bro received a short, unusual message on his cell phone voicemail. It was a short phrase uttered in a voice that sounded very sped up and had an accent, perhaps European. After listening a number of times, he decided that the voice was saying all of history.
Mm.
At the age of 16, when Bro was starting to come to terms with his mediumistic abilities, he found a very unusual picture on a roll of film that he had accidentally exposed to light. On one of the exposed frames appeared the picture of a woman. Bro recognized this woman as his spirit guide, Laren. We've had Bro on a couple times, and his website is walkthroughwalls.org. It's don't forget THRU in the middle there for through. walkthroughwalls.org/ITC/broperkins.html. That, of course, is linked up at ghostlytalk.com. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Ghostly Talk, Bro.
Hi, thank you.
It's good to have you back. Now, we hey, Andrew's here also. I don't think we didn't. Well, I don't even know how to explain this, but
this was well planned.
Well, no, it's planned.
Very well rehearsed.
It's not well.
Yeah. Well, if it was anything like setting this thing up on the break here, and we had the phone hijinks going on, it's going to be a great
interview.
Oh,
that was fun, yeah.
We're going to have some fun. Basically, Andrew, we have a gentleman named Andrew here. Now, if I'm correct, Bro, you did you've done work with Andrew, correct?
Andrew is one of many of my clients who have stopped in over the years to have readings. Andrew and I recently met, and he had never really experienced a reading before, so he thought he'd come on and basically share some of his experience of having a reading with you guys and the people listening so that people could sort of know what it really entails to sit with someone who has psychic ability, you know, beyond the common misconceptions of someone who would sit with you and tell you that you have a purple aura and that you have a angel on your right shoulder. You know, it really does talk to people about their life.
Or tell you that you need to love your children unconditionally or love your dog unconditionally and stuff like that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Correct.
I've just heard that before recently, and I'm like, well, that's pretty hilarious, but okay.
I have to say, Bro, I was... I was in Toronto, actually, back in June, and I went up to...
And you didn't call me?
I was stupid. I can't believe I didn't do that. But,
stupid Doug.
But here's what I am. What we did is my friend and I went and we saw a psychic, though, who we just... As a matter of fact, we weren't even intending on doing that. That was, like, the farthest thing from our minds. But we were walking up and down Yonge Street. And
yeah, I know exactly the psychic you went to. It was near the Eden Center.
And there's just this door, right? And it's got an advertisement kind of thing on it. And I'm like, oh, that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we popped in and we saw the psychic.
In all defense, though, you probably thought that was my office, though, right?
I know. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Mateo, we can go up and see Bro Perkins right now. Yeah. And it turned out you were a middle-aged woman. I know, I was shocked, but so we went in and I had a reading that was, you know, pretty decent. But my friend's reading was quite well like way off. So I don't know if she tuned into something wrong or whatever, but it was definitely not, you know, 'cause I've had readings before and I've had, you know, really intricate, interesting readings, and I've had the, you know, the ones that you pretty much alluded to, the, you will go on a trip, you know, the very vague, you know, those kinds of things. So I guess it's, you know, it is interesting to see, you know, something real, you know, something that really can be, you know, that's not vague like that or what they make fun of on TV.
Well, people would be surprised, actually, that when you see a show like Medium with Patricia Arquette portraying Alison Dubois, who is a real-life medium and who is married to a rocket scientist named Joe Dubois, and the types of information that come through on that show in the form of dreams and how she'll work a case, it seems a little bit fantastic to an audience, but it really is what it's like. Andrew was a special client to me for a number of reasons, but I was having dreams of him prior to him coming in, and I think it was a set of dreams which even led me to being able to be in contact with him. So, yeah, his experience is definitely one that's unique and really does speak to the process.
Which is absolutely fascinating. Uh-huh. And okay, then Andrew. So yeah. You're wandering around life, right?
Yeah.
You're going and picking up, you know, nasal spray, and you're, you know, making sure you've got enough baking powder for the cookies that you've got to, you know, bake for the work function, or, you know, whatever. Okay, you know, you're going through life. How do you decide you need to go see a psychic?
Well, pretty much I was at a point in my life. I've kind of established my career, and I'm not really sure where I'm going to be going with it. Actually, one of the big things was, I'm in the television industry, and I wasn't really sure if I should be sticking in the television industry or moving on to somewhere else. And just like a lot of my life, just felt very up in the air. I didn't really have much direction. But, I mean, I thought about going to a psychic, but I know from the ones I've gone to before, like the tarot card readings and stuff like that, like you can only take them for a grain of salt. Like, you can't, like, totally go and believe every single thing they say. But, because, I mean, the ones I've gone to that, oh, you're going to be coming into money in the future. Well, yeah, I'm sure I probably am at some point in the next 20, 30 years. I may come into money.
When you go to work, you're going to come into some money. I mean, I don't
right,
know.
Right. Every other week or so when you get paid, you get some
you
money.
Get some money, yeah.
So I guess they could use that as a vagary. But, yeah, everybody gets that kind of stuff. You know, people find a quarter on the sidewalk. It just happens, you know. People do take trips.
Yeah,
although I
definitely.
Guess there's this one lady near Chicago. Oh, my gosh, I just read this. This was one of them in the half hour that I was on the Internet. This one lady in Chicago, evidently she just stayed home all the time because she actually lived with, like, her two or three dead, you know, sisters, like, for 20 years or more. Like, they had passed on, and this lady just, like, didn't do anything about it, and they just decayed right there, and they became skeletons.
Jesus Christ!
So she was living with these skeletons in her house. Yeah. So evidently, some people don't go on trips, but but there are people who do, and most people do. Eventually, you get in the car and go somewhere, or you know, go to some.
Yeah, the sinuses of a monitor, for God's sake! I have to sit there. And, well,
so
I mean,
you're still
me...
on that lady. Yeah, that lady. It's a really sick story. But
okay, well, I don't know how it came up, but you know, I don't want to dwell on it. But damn, that's pretty sick, dude. All right, go ahead.
So I wonder if she talked to them still.
I wonder. She's 90 years old. They did take her to a care facility. But I don't know if it's a health care facility or a mental care facility. But
it was, anyway, Andrew.
But it was, you know, they took her to a facility anyway. But that is an example. So some people it may not apply to, but as a vagary, you could say you're going to go on a trip, right? But it would be very interesting to say, you know, oh, you're going to go to, and then some little tiny city in Iowa that there's no way in the universe that anybody could have possibly known that you had family there or whatever and that you were going to go there. Or, you know, and for somebody to pick a detail, that's the really interesting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's pretty much how Bro did it for me. There was a lot of, when he told me to take notes down for the entire reading, and there was bang on stuff that there was absolutely no way. One of the big things had to do with my younger sister. She had a health condition, and she had actually just, my parents knew about it, but I didn't know about it, and she told me about it a week before I went for the reading, and I didn't even think about going into the reading. And Bro said that she had to go and get this test done, and just like it clicked, I'm like, oh my God, I just figured this out a week ago. She told me that she was going through this, and she had to go get this test run, and she was reluctant to get it done because she didn't know what it was, but then Bro confirmed that that's what she needed to go through, and it was without me even prompting him or saying anything about it. Like, it was just, he totally just brought it up right away.
Mm, that's interesting, and that's the kind of thing that I wonder. Bro, like, when I go into a reading, and I've only had a handful of them done in my whole life, right? But when I go into a reading, I often wonder, like, okay, because I think, are they going to say anything about my grandmother? Are they going to say anything about my mom? Are they going to say this? Or are they going to know that my brother got remarried? Or are they going to, you know, and these things go through my head. And I wonder, can some of it be mind reading, or is it all because of, you know, the way the universe and psychic faculties work? I mean, is there a link at all that I happen to just be thinking about it, or is there, or is that just coincidence in that respect?
Oh, sure, and then it also brings up, that's a really good question. It also speaks to the people who have great readings, and then people who find that they can't really get a great reading, even though all their friends had sat with a very gifted medium, and they can't get a connection. Well, the thing is, there are some mediums who are very telepathic by nature. There's different faculties to the gift. For example, some people who have an artistic mind are very prone to music, while others are very good painters. And it's all the same sort of area of the brain. There are psychics who are great at reading into the script of life, as it were, which they're getting premonitions and remote viewing and seeing non-local events. And then there are psychics who are very good telepaths, like my great mentor, Paola, who is a psychic from Montreal. And she will tell you exactly what has been going on in your life, and her predictions often are, because she'll tell you what you're wanting at the time. But wow. We go to see her because it's Paola. We love Paola. It's not even to see her reading. She's just so sweet and puts everything at ease and validates you. Myself, I find I'm not a good telepath. I'm a terrible telepath. In fact, I'm being interviewed to do a television pilot with another psychic in Toronto soon, and she asked if I had telepathic skill, and I said no, not at all. But what I'll do is I'll tune into the life, and so I think in Andrew's reading, one such example for Andrew was I think I told him, because he and I talked today, so he reminded me of what I said about how he could go to Australia on a trip in the future. And he said right there in front of me, no, not really. And I just sort of didn't say anything, and I thought to myself, well, I'm the psychic, not you. So just, and then, but that certainly wasn't mind reading, because if it was mind reading, I would never have brought up Australia, because it was not in his consciousness. And after the reading, he called me today to tell me that when his mom was talking to him, she said, oh, did the psychic mention anything about Australia? And Andrew goes, as a matter of fact, he did. Why? And she goes, well, now that I just found that I had cousins there, I was thinking, you know, that could be a potential place we could visit in the future. So things like that will come through, which to me are validations over the years of having people have disagreed with me in the moment but come back to tell me it made sense later, as to confirm that I'm really tuning into a plan, that life, as it were, is fated to a certain degree.
Well, and even for me, Bro, you said about there was the trip to Florida, and you said sometime between October and December of this year there's going to be a trip to Florida come up. And again, I said, the reading was done, I think, in September, and so I'm like, the next 4 months, I really don't think I'm going to be going to Florida. I don't really know anyone going down there. And 2 days later, I met up with my friend Jen, and I was about to tell her about the reading. She goes, oh, before we start, I'm going down to my parents' condo in Florida. Do you want to come with me? And I'm going out in October. And I'm like, no, you didn't just say that.
Wow.
Yeah. So Andrew does not live with three dead ladies. He definitely is a person who does take trips.
Oh, excellent.
Come up. Well, we're glad to know you're getting out, Andrew. That's really important.
Evidently more than we are, because I haven't been to Florida in a long time. I haven't been to Australia.
I think a good means to get out of the house is if someone dies in the house, you might want to get out and let someone know.
Or at least have somebody, you know, chuck them out to the curb or something. I mean,
get them out of there. It's dead weight, literally. Why am I saying this?
How do you decorate that up? Do you put bulbs on it for Christmas?
Sleep on it, kick it. I don't know. Do whatever you want. But okay.
So who is psychic?
We're going to hell for that.
I'm trying to go on the topic.
Focus, Doug. Focus.
And you're totally on that dead lady. That lady's dead.
Well, where the hell did it come from?
I don't know. Oh, because evidently.
Oh, it's my fault now for dwelling on it. Okay. All right, I'm sorry, Doug.
I lost control.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm physically taking myself out of channel right now.
You don't have to.
All right, go ahead.
So you're going through life, and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to need a psychic, right? And how do you find a good one?
Who is this to me? Yeah,
it could be to anybody, because at this point, I don't. It could be the dead people's.
I think you'd be more the authority on this. That's a good question.
Well, I'm sure Bro might say something like, "You go to walkthroughwalls.org/ipc/broperkins.html or ghostdetectors a link." Yeah. No.
I have a set of rules that I usually tell people, and the number one rule is never to go into a place that has an advertisement on the front. Not by rule of thumb that they're all fake, but mostly you can tell a genuine medium is a person who's probably been traumatized from this ability their whole life. You can't find us very easily. Andrew, actually, the way we met was very interesting. He and I both dated the same person, and he dated that person after myself, so he got in touch with me sort of through my ex, who was also his ex, and so he kind of knew about me through a friend or a referral, and that's how it always works. I never advertised, mm-hmm. So a good psychic is always hard to find because they tend not to advertise unless they're well known, like James Van Prague or George Anderson in New Jersey. These are very gifted people, and I think when you look at their history, when they started out, they were also very much the same. They didn't advertise, those men.
Well, that's what I've a lot of people I've talked to, like, that, you know, that have psychic abilities. I mean, there's lots of names for it, but, you know, if they're psychic or they have mediumistic qualities or things like that, I've heard the same story from a lot of them, and these are the people that don't have a shop or they don't advertise. They're people I've talked to, and they've been on this show or we've just talked in conversation. They're like, you know, Scott, when I realized or I had that moment, because it seems like, you know, everybody with these abilities has this moment where they realize something, there's more to me than just the flesh and bone here, and I can see a little bit more, it seems like, than other people can. They say it's terrifying. It scares the heck out of them. They can't sleep for some nights because they're so freaked out because of the things they hear and or see, right?
And Bro was talking about that when, you know, the first show you did, the first ghostly talk, I mean, that you did, you were talking about growing up like that. And it was just, you know, you knew, well, at first you thought it was completely normal, and then, like, people are like, no, you're not normal, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not normal, how the heck do you deal with this?
Yeah,
and nobody wants to talk about it, and what do, right? I mean, wow. And
well, I had a lot of experiences in school with it. That's how it really came up to me, was through my education, and my first premonition, I was just entering the first grade. And I had a very best friend that I used to spend the summer with because we belonged to the same public pool team, swim team thing, and his name's Jean-Philippe. And this was back in Montreal, and we were inseparable. Like, I was around him every summer, and then in school we always sat next to each other. And school had just started. It was probably September or October of the first grade, and I had a dream one night that my friends and I were on the playground outside the school, and my friend Jean-Philippe was running away from me, and I couldn't seem to catch up to him, and this other young boy said to me in my dream, he doesn't want to be your friend anymore. And it was one of those dreams where I woke up actually upset, you know, like when you can't shake that feeling. And I went to school that day, and I thought, you know, and this is I was just a kid, but I had thought that I would tell my friend about this dream and that I'm angry at him still, even though it was just a dream, and I couldn't get close to him that day. From that day on, he had rejected me and hadn't been wanting to be my friend. And so this was a common theme, is that a lot of psychic people, especially children, have a lot of heartbreak because they're not aware of why the heck it is they're freaking out, or why it is that they see the things they do when they're unaware of it. And relationships, and this was something that the real Alison Dubois mentioned in an interview. She says relationships for psychic people tend to happen very quickly. They're not long-lasting because you can't really miss a lot about a person. Like, you figure out a person pretty quickly when you're a psychic. And so people have either been terrified to be with me, or I can't get rid of them because they just love me and they're my closest friends. But it's always one extreme to another. It's never, I can't have a social life in the sense of schmoozing and acquaintances. It just doesn't work that way for me.
Oh, okay. Well, I love my social life of schmoozing and acquaintances, but you know, we have to go to break. But you know what?
After
the break,
and
before you know what you guys want to talk about, I want to talk about this really hot Toronto dating scene where you know, evidently, you know, so and so's ex, and then you just give everybody all your phone numbers, and then it just sort of happens that you meet up with friends of your exes. I just think that's super exciting. It sounds like this web of a dating scene going on. No, we won't talk about that. But I did think that was really fascinating.
I thought you were serious for a second. I'm like, whoa.
I was sweating for Andrew. I thought, oh shit, Andrew's never going to talk.
All right, let's take a break here. You send this one off because all right.
I don't know what to say other than.
You know what? We got some interesting things we're going to talk about after the break here, bro. There's some other things we want to touch on too, and we'll do that after the break. Andrew, are you going to hang out with us here for the rest of the time? You're welcome to if you'd like.
Okay.
All right, yeah. We'll have Andrew. We got Bro here. We got myself. We got Doug. We got Amber over here who's staring intently at something on the computer.
Yeah, evidently. It's all
I found an online store for Quaker O's, the cereal I couldn't find, and you can buy it online.
Is that what happens when we're doing our show? We're going to have to talk about this on break. You go to break.
It's porn, I guess. So.
We're going to break. We got to talk about use of the network during
exactly.
The show.
You're drawing serious bandwidth off that machine that we need to broadcast this damn show out.
We'll be back with more from Bro Perkins and Andrew. The website, walkthroughwalls, that's THRU, walkthroughwalls.org/ITC/BroPerkins.html. Of course, there's a permanent link up at ghostlytalk.com. More about Quaker Oats and the hot dating scene up in Toronto after this break.
Would you like to listen to Ghostly Talk Live on your cell phone? Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
PowerHub Radio,
the internet's only rock and roll paranormal extravaganza.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium. Where is the Lawrence house?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder and was haunted. The tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being is I could see and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we knew where we were going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we don't get taken away by the spirit. So that was me.
Isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
that's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Para Hub Radio, Thursdays, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and ParaHub.org.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
We are the Panther City Ghost Group, and we've been in business for over 40 years, serving the metropolitan area and beyond. Hi, my name is Dan Shoemaker, and my father started this business in 1967, and I carry on that great tradition of great low prices. This week only, get a complete investigation plus a house blessing for only $299.99. And we'll help you quit smoking, drinking, or break any old bad habits with an exorcism for only $49.99.99. I'm a licensed deliverance minister and pastor of the New Hope United Church. Come out and see us sometime at Sunday service here, right here in exit 217 East Babylonian Avenue. And remember, we're ready to believe you for the right price. The Founder City Ghost Group for all your paranormal needs. Call us toll free at 1-877-555-1375. That's 1-877-555-1375. Or visit us on the web at www.foundercityghosts.com.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
You never heard that one before?
I now have a plan. I'm going to go to Canada, and I'm going to buy Quaker Oath.
Amber just made the sale on break, by the way.
Yeah.
Just in case you guys out there in
you want to know how much I paid for 2 boxes of cereal? $14.95.
$25. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go.
Wait, whoa. No, Doug, this is going to be a domestic dispute on the air right now. You paid $25 for 2 boxes of cereal.
Yeah, let me break it down. It was a 2-pack, 12 ounces. And the total was $7.58 for that. But I had to pay $7.58 in shipping, and then they charged me $2.50 for handling.
You and I are having a talk after the show.
I'm going to have a bowl of cereal.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to buy Archway Wedding Cookies. I'm going to buy Quaker Oats here, and I'm going to start a black market here in the
United States. Then you can charge Amber
$25. Charge Amber $25 each pack.
Glad you're rich.
And then I'm going to save up money and go on a Pander City ghost tour with those people from that last.
You know, I should point that out. I got to thank Ken Deal for that. Ken Deal, a couple months back, just sent me a bunch of these things that he put together. You know, and I've done these in the past myself, but Ken sent over the ones he was doing. And he's like, throw them in your commercials.
I want an exorcism for $49.99.
And I'm like, these are hilarious. We're going to use them, man. So, yeah. Thanks to Ken for letting us use some of his stuff there. Bro, you know, we're you guys are still here, right?
I hope.
They had to listen to their hijinks on a break again. We took a break here. We're chilling out. We all stayed in the studio and kind of chatted a little bit. And we're discussing what we're going to talk about now. And I really wanted to ask you about this. And now, I've heard Stan from South Park's explanation of what cold reading is, right?
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, I'd like to hear what your explanation of what cold reading is, if you don't mind, kind sir.
Oh, yeah, cold reading is... where someone unconsciously is picking up cues on a person's life via body language, noticing things not by choice, but sort of by noticing they don't have a wedding ring or things like that, and that's giving you clues about their life. And what the job of a medium who really develops and really does rely solely on their visions to do is to eliminate as much cold reading as possible from a reading. Now, there are hardcore skeptics out there who insist that any accurate hit, any kind of psychic reading that makes any sense or does hit on something true is either guesswork or cold reading. And that's just a ridiculous accusation to make, because you have to look at so many of the hits that are just beyond statistical probability to guess, which they don't do. They don't get into it that far. Cold reading is basically picking up cues on a person without meaning to. And it's something that even a gifted psychic will do by accident, so it's something that can't be eliminated because we're human beings.
Well, is there how many other travel destinations did you mention to Andrew other than Florida and Australia that were not hits?
I don't know how many that were mentioned to me. The Florida and the Australia trip.
So you mentioned 2 travel destinations, and Bing, you know, he then immediately he had the opportunity to go to Florida, and then Andrew's mom was talking about Australia. I mean, it just seems like those were two hits, and there were no non-hits there.
That's right, and if I could just ask now, Andrew, did you have any other travel opportunities other than that, like outside of the reading?
Not as of yet, but I mean, the reading was done a month ago, so.
Yeah, again,
this was only said, like, the Australia trip was to come in the next 2 to 4 years. This is to say I might not have a trip in the next 10 years, going to Europe or something like that. It just it never came up. So.
Yeah, it hasn't come up yet. And if people look up my name, do a search on YouTube, you'll get some clips of me on television in Canada. And in one show I did, I was doing a reading on a young lady, and I had told her that she will go to California in May, and then I stopped myself and said, no, I think it's June. And what's interesting, after she had told on camera, she had an interview after her reading, and she had explained that her original plan was to go in May, and then she ended up having to go in June. And that's all since happened, because that was filmed in April, and now the summer has gone by. So what's interesting to look at is I will even pick up on sort of what the plan was and how it changed and stuff unwittingly, because I just sort of, I don't know why, I saw May, and then I got the feeling to stop, and then I got June really clear. So it was like May, no, June. So it really actually turned into a big accurate statement. But I'm just relaying images as I get them.
Well, okay.
Interesting.
Well, the one thing I know, how do I even say this? Maybe I should. Well,
say it in Latin.
I don't know how to speak Latin, dude.
Oh.
I can't. I'm
Portuguese.
See, I have to apologize, bro, because I'm still trying to get over this $25 for two boxes of cereal thing. So I'm a little off kilter right now.
I mean, we were, like, out of roll.
I'm just thinking about all the horrible things I'm going to say to Amber after the show.
If I turn up missing.
Yeah, if you turn. Yeah, she. No. Okay, sorry about that. No. And I know, as far as cold reading is concerned, and in regards to that, you know, and I think it's Doug, take over.
Well, it is.
I'm recovering from last night's dud. That's my excuse. I'm sticking with it.
It is true that us humans get information in many different ways,
yeah.
Right? We get information, you know, visually, audioly, or whatever.
Audibly.
Audibly, that's it. Through smell, through, you know, hopefully not taste. I mean, if you go to a psychic and she or he starts licking you,
I'm convinced she's got the gift.
But, you know, you get this information this way, and you've learned over the years to you know, watch your peripheral vision, to you know, to try and pay attention to important things, and of course your body will let you know when danger is imminent, you know, through things that you don't even pay attention to.
Well, so, body language, I didn't mean to cut you off, but with the body language thing concerning cold reading, I mean, I find myself doing this a lot nowadays. I mean, and I find, you know, as I thought about the whole cold reading process, and I mean, here's a good example. I mean, you know me, Doug. When I talk to a person, I'm looking at them. I have to be looking at them. I need their attention to talk to them. Amber's notorious for that with me, because she likes to go and like and work on something and I'll be talking to her, and she'll be like, and you know, her tongue, she'll be drooling on herself or whatever. And then I'll start screaming, going, look at me, I'm trying to talk to you.
That's
right?
An attractive picture you've been in. But yeah.
I'm just getting her back for this $25 cereal thing, right? Your voice.
Yeah,
and
so you get information by.
But no. People. But my point is that there's some people that I mean I look right through them when I'm talking to them, and they can't do that. They can't look me in the eye, right? And I think to myself, I'm like, okay, you're very shy. You're a shy person. And things like,
your grandmother has passed.
Bro, do you see what I'm saying, though? I mean, I pick up on these cues also like that, right? And I think, you know, as far as cold reading is concerned, that, you know, that's kind of... am I on the right track? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is that Andrew might be able to attest to this, because Andrew's a pretty good-looking guy, and I wasn't really looking at him the whole time. That's how my readings are. I don't really look at people. I don't know. Did you notice that about me, Andrew, when I was doing the reading at all? Or
yeah, actually, for majority of the reading that you did have your eyes closed for. Actually, I just thought it looked like you were trying to concentrate harder, that you had your eyes closed. And like, the difference between you and like the psychics I've gone to is like, you've got the tea leaf readings, or you can go and get your palm read, or you can go and get like your shower cards done, and you just kind of sat there and just started feeding the information to me without any, like, outside help.
Yeah, and no gimmickry, no tea leaves, nothing. I just sit there really with my head sort of down and my eyes closed. And I'll look up once in a while so that they don't think I've fallen asleep, really. But I used to do readings at people's backs. When I first started out, I actually would sit a person in front of me on a stool and run my hands over their back, almost as if I was giving a massage. Now, this was back when I was 16 years old, and I was still very self-conscious about my looks. But that really does say a lot toward cold reading. Also, the skeptics will insist that cold reading is something that isn't so innocently done, and that it's a thing that a psychic knows they're doing. And I don't understand how a 16-year-old would have been able to tell a person their father's name. And, I mean, this is not like, who's John? This was, your father is John. This is how it comes through me. I try to be very concise and very specific with the information because I have clients who are, I've done readings for judges, I have lawyers, I've even have medical doctors who see me. So they won't let me get away with cold reading or generalizations. It's just not something I'm allowed to do.
Well, I want you to be very careful because if you're giving a reading for somebody down in Decatur, Illinois.
Yeah, somebody's, I don't trust them anymore.
Good,
no.
good. No, somebody's grandmother or great-grandmother's name is Lugard.
Oh, yeah.
Watch out for that. L-O-U-G-A-R-D. We saw it on a headstone. We're like, oh, my gosh, it's a really unfortunate
name. I ask you this also, bro, concerning the cold reading thing? I'm bringing it back again. I don't care because I think it's ridiculous.
Well, how do you know? Are there signs that you can tell? I mean, if you're sitting there and you lay down your $20 or whatever,
stating the obvious that really is kind of, and I'm wondering if this is part of the cold reading process or if it's I don't know. My point being is that I not too long ago, a couple months ago, I was watching a psychic she was doing a presentation, and people around the crowd were asking questions to her, and one of the ladies asked, she was pregnant, right? And she said, I'm pregnant, can you please talk to my child? And so she's like, okay. And she comes over to the lady and puts her hand on her stomach and gets on one knee, and she says, your child says, love me unconditionally. To which I nearly fell out of the chair, like wanting to just like crack up. It's like, that's it. Okay, that is obvious. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do with your children, is love them unconditionally. Does anybody disagree with me on that?
No, maybe I would have said it to the crowd, but I guess that woman wouldn't have said it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
no, yeah.
So, I mean, it's something that you can't, it really, you're right. It is very general and vague a lot of the time. And I don't think you can talk to a baby, and I'm not so sure you can talk to animals as much as you can feel and sense what the child would, maybe the gender, maybe what the child might be like what parent they may be a lot like. I make predictions about that often. But yeah, it's one of those things. There's a lot of people who are very genuine and they believe that what they do is real, but they may not be the most developed mediums. And by that I mean, to develop, you really have to be skeptical yourself, and you have to put yourself to the challenge. Like, when I have clients come in to me, I don't allow them to ask any questions. When they book a reading with me, I've actually had a person who came to me and more than one person, and they're telling me too much information, and I turn them away. I mean, I wouldn't be able to read them because I'd say, I'm sorry. It's just you've given too many hints about your life.
Well, it's a subjective thing. We were talking about this with David in the last hour about reverse speech. I mean, it seems like this is, maybe we've answered the question, Doug. I don't know. It seems like there's this running thing with all this study. I mean, whether it's psychic, being a psychic, or mediumistic abilities, or even like what we talked about last hour, reverse speech. There is this discipline of objectiveness that has to go through all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you've turned people away, like you said, bro.
I still, to this day, is I can be like bang on with a client and really impress them and have them tell me that it's been an incredible experience. And literally, the next person to walk through my door, I wouldn't have to give them a refund. But for telephone readings, when I do readings at a distance, I even have a couple of refunds on the waiting list right now, because you'll sit with a person, you just won't connect with them, and it's either that you can't read them because there's something going on that you're unable to know what it is if you're a certain age or haven't had that experience in life,
yeah.
Or you just don't get along with them person to person, and it's very difficult to communicate with them. And that's what I think needs to happen, is psychic people have to be willing to deliver the goods before payment, and if the goods are not received, not to get paid for it. And I think that's set a lot of credit to my business, and it does keep the referrals very clean and honest and good, because even people who get a refund from me will still send friends to me because they say that, well, he was honest enough.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a great way of doing things, too, I think. And I don't know of anybody else that really... I mean, have you heard of anybody else that does things like that, Doug?
No, I've never heard of anyone who does that. Because you know very, very well, there are certain famous people who say that they're being paid for their time.
Well, yeah, they're being paid for their time, not
so
their
I don't
ability.
Care if they sat there for 30 minutes with you and twiddled their thumbs or built a card house out of their tarot cards, right?
You're paying for their time.
You're paying for their time to be just sitting in their presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and for me, it's more important that the impact reaches the individual than it is to have my time paid for. And I think in the long run, it makes you even more successful. I think it's very short-sighted for a person to charge someone based on the hour and not based on the content of the hour. And not everyone likes me. I've had maybe 1 in 100 people will not like me, or they'll tell their friends that the reading wasn't that great. I mean, this is what we get in a profession where you're interacting with human beings. Oh. A lot of my hairstylist friends, in fact, find the same kinds of problems I do. They could do 10 great haircuts. Then they get one person who comes in and doesn't quite know what they want done. They just know they want a haircut. And then no matter what my stylist does, the person's unsatisfied with the haircut. And then it ruins the stylist's confidence.
Well, yeah, they just don't know what they want.
That happens.
Period.
Yeah. That happens in even the most professional of industry. I mean, I was a programmer for years, a computer programmer. It sounds very scientific, right?
Yeah.
Well, you get customers, they go, well, I need a report on that. And you're like, a report? Yeah, you get the information out of the database and make it a report. So, all right, so you go and you pull the information out of the database, you sum it all up and total it, and you give them a standard deviation, and you give them the report, and they go, this isn't what I need at all. Well, you said you need a report, and you didn't tell me what exactly you needed.
Yeah.
And then they start drilling down, and instead of taking, like, your time, one time to just do the report that they wanted, you're giving them things, and then they have to change it over and over. It's a lot like building a website.
Yep. Yep, and that's...
Which brings it basically to a good point, is that the people who have the best readings tend to be the people who are very receptive and open and are honest. I mean, if it's wrong or if it's not making sense, they would say so, but they're not coming to sort of have you tell them what their view of their life is. They're coming with the understanding that you're going to tell them what you see about their life from your perspective, or from the perspective, hopefully, of higher spirit beings who have a better perspective on life. Because the advice I give, and that comes out of me in a reading, is nothing like how I am in person. Like, Andrew and I have had a chance to have dinner together and spend some time together outside of the reading and get to know each other. I'm sure he knows I'm much, much more of a goof and not really as graceful as I can be in a reading. Yeah, don't say yes, Andrew.
Well, Ken Berg, we just spent the weekend with last weekend. I mean, he's a very, very, he's very disciplined and very good at what he does as a psychic. But you get him off the clock, he's hysterical. He's a goofball. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I think that's what you need. I mean, like anything, like we approach radio here. You know, you take your work seriously, but don't take yourself that seriously all the time, right? And I think it's the same thing would apply to that you can't take yourself that seriously all the time, or you'll just burn yourself up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and you won't make many friends.
No, you won't. No.
Right. You might have to, like, live with your 90-year-old sister or something.
Sister.
And then when you die, she just leaves you there.
Yeah.
20 years later, they find your bones and take her off to a facility. Andrew,
we got minutes here, and
a recap on the reading experience, the search for a psychic, the reading experience, and what it's done for your life since you've had the reading.
Well, finding him again, it was total word of mouth. Not only did we share the same ex, but I also like knew a couple people that had done a reading with Bro, and that's pretty. They were really, really impressed with what they received from him. So,
yeah.
I was more than willing to go there, and again, I went there with an open mind. And Bro actually had me write down a list of questions before I went there, and said, "Don't show them to me. Wait till the reading's done, and then I want you to pull out your list and check off everything I've answered." And I think there was only, out of, I think, about almost 20 questions, I think there may have been, like, one that wasn't totally touched on, and we talked about it a bit. It had to do with my grandparents, but other than that, I was really, really impressed. There was, again, a couple things, like the Florida trip and the Australia trip that I said, no, I really don't see that happening anytime soon, and, like, and Bro said, no, just write it down in your notes, and then it'll come up later, don't worry, and sure enough, everything came up again.
How interesting.
Very interesting. Unfortunately, we are, like, done.
Yeah.
We're right up on the thing. Yeah, you know, it's always that way. We can sit here and talk all night long, but, you know, we have these rules we got to play by. So,
yeah.
Geez, old Pete.
Bro, what a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
This was, like, the third time, right?
And thank you for bringing Andrew also. It's great having you on the show, too, Andrew.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks. Fantastic. You gotta carry this one out, man. I'm done. Seriously.
Well,
I'm gonna push the buttons. You talk. You use your brain. I'll just click the buttons.
Well, I can definitely do that.
Okay.
You know, for the whole Quaker Oat family of cereal.
Yeah, and we've given them about $20,000 in advertising.
I know they don't even know it. I have to thank Bro Perkins. Walkthroughwalls.org/ITC/Bro Perkins. Of course, the website's linked up at GhostlyTalk.
On our site. Yep.
For coming on again, and Andrew for coming on and talking about his experience. David John Oates, ReverseSpeech.com.
Yeah,
wow,
great talking to him again.
Incredible.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
And Bonnie, thank you for
got a little crazy.
Up with us
got a little crazier
phone.
Towards the end. Sorry about that, guys.
Yes. Hey. Thanks for putting up with us on the phone, Bonnie and Amber. Amber, thanks for sitting in.
Yep.
Everybody who's listening, thank you so much for listening, and keep listening, because we're here on the air for you and to learn, and as we learn, you learn. It's a great win-win situation there.
Yeah, it is.
We'll be back, of course, next week with more Ghostly Talk, but I didn't even look at the schedule because I've been so haphazard lately
anymore.
But we are in next week and then the week after, and then of course then December is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah,
just keep that in mind.
Look at the schedule. Yeah.
Right. We're still going to bring you new material even through December.
Oh, yeah.
Our website is www.ghostlytalk.com, and that's been our show for this week. I have been Doug.
I have been Scott L.
Still Bob.
Bonnie and Amber are both competing for airtime.
All right, we're out of here, guys. Have a
great
week.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Ghostly Talk! You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.